In this episode, I talk about how I do things differently when it's hot out. It's all about accepting and adapting. So here we go, episode 269, It's Hot. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Well, it's still hot out in Florida. Big surprise. So, yeah, the heat sort of becomes the constant topic of conversation and the thing that's in the front of our minds here for people who live in Florida because it's a thing. So I know this episode might not apply to everyone, but I'm sure that just about everyone out there does have some sort of seasonal condition that makes you have to consider things differently. So hopefully this will be interesting at least, and hopefully helpful to many of you. Now when it's really hot out, your time with your horse is probably going to change, and it might feel like you're doing less. But less is not always less than. We need to just accept, we need to adapt. And often we humans could use a reason to introduce some variety. When it's hot out, you don't have to put all your goals on hold. You just need to be even more thoughtful about what you do. And in my experience, thoughtfulness is rarely a bad thing. So having just come in from another hot, humid, slimy day with my horses, or morning with my horses, I thought I'd just share, you know, kind of a look at like, what does that look like with my horses? So there's 7 horses on my property that are mine, and they're in varying sort of conditions of some are, you know, exercising and they're in training and they're working. Some are just in maintenance mode. They're exercising, but, you know, like Ovation, he's 23. You know, he's not, I'm not progressing him by maintaining him. And then there's some horses who are, you know, have different health issues, that they're retired and they're not being exercised. And then there's like Solana, who is sound. She is exercisable, but she just has, she sort of struggles with a few different health things. And it just feels unfair to add on to that, that I ask her to work in the heat. So she's exercisable, but I really kind of give her the summer off. So I've got a pretty good variety of horses. You know, one of them is Cora, who's 6, and she's, you know, learning and growing and fit and young and healthy. And so she's, you know, she's like ready to do stuff. So it's a pretty, like I said, it's a pretty good variety. But before I really think about the exercise part of it, that to me feels like such a small part of the heat management that I need to do around here, because most of the day I'm not exercising them and they're just out there living in it. So it's really important to manage them in a way that they can stay as comfortable as possible throughout the day. And everybody's situation is different. You know, sometimes being in the barn with the fans on is sort of the kindest option. I have, the most important thing is that they're able to be cool. And here in Florida, we have the bugs also. So having a station where they can get under fans or have fans blowing at them or across them really, really helps for, you know, the heat and for the bugs. We have horses who have allergies to the Culicoides, the little no-see-ums, and it can be quite miserable for them. So each of my pastures and my turnouts has a cooling station. And this can be really simple. I mean, sometimes the shelter that's out in the pasture is close to the edge and where I've run electricity. And so there'll be fans, usually in the, up high, blowing down on them. And some of those will have misting systems attached to them. So I just get these little rings that have like four or five misting nozzles on them, and then they plug into a hose. So we run water up to there. And here's a little pro tip. Where I live, it's a very mineral-rich water. There's a lot of limestone in the water. And those little mister things clog up really easily. So if you get one of, I think they call it like an RV filter. And so you can get these filters that screw onto the hose. And you just put that in between the hose and the misters. And it works really well. I can sometimes get a couple seasons out of them. Yeah, but there's these little rubber rings. They have little misters, and you can zip tie them onto the fan. And it works pretty slick, and they're not that expensive. So they usually last, like I said, I can get a couple seasons out of them if I add the filter to it, so it doesn't get all gunked up. But basically, it can be as simple as putting them in the shelter if the roof is there and I have electric. But on one of my shelters is kind of plunked out in the middle of the pasture, so they don't have fans there, but I've built... I built like a little roof. So it's just super simple, four posts, a plywood roof. maybe it's like 2.5 feet by 4 feet or 3 feet by 4 feet, something like that. And then right under that little roof thing, I hang fans, and I can usually fit two. And then again, I can run the mister right there. So if it has to be on the edge of the fence line, that works. And I have wire fence, so like no climb. So that for me, it's easy because the air just blows right through that super, super easily. So even if you have four board fencing, you could take one section where your fans are and take the boards out and put in the no climb, the wire mesh, horse safe wire mesh, and do that. And my horses love that. Bonus points if you can put it in the shade somewhere. So put it, next to a tree or something, so they're in the shade, they have the fans blowing on them and the misters. And I'll just often look out and they're pointing. They're like two horses parked next to each other, one in front of each fan, and they just let it blow over them. So super, super helpful. Yeah, in Florida here, it's so humid and moist. We do have to think a little bit about, the moisture on their skin. So you have to watch out for rain rot and things like that. And, what's the ground like that they're standing on, that they're not standing in muck. But there's different things you can do with the surfaces. If you need a cooling station, but maybe your place gets muddy, you can put pea gravel, or you can put those rubber mesh things, the little rubber mats that are more mesh than solid, so the water can drain through. Anyway, there's things you can do, and I think totally, totally worth it. My horses absolutely love those, and for me in the Florida summer, I cannot imagine not having that for a horse. We've recently changed the configuration of who's going where, and we have more horses now on the dirt track. Because, we have all this beautiful grass, and now everybody's on, the majority of my horses are on the dirt track. But Hotshot developed heaves, and we realized it was an allergy to the grass. Usually around July, there's something that pops up in the pastures, and so we keep them on the dirt. So there's a lot of horses under there. And then there's another pasture next to it that is like the one pasture that didn't have shelter or anything. And just the way we're configuring things, like that one horse, we need a horse there because he wants to be where the, close to where the other horses are. So we actually configured the electric fence so that the The dirt track has three quarters of this big square shelter, and the one horse on the pasture next to it gets to sneak in and get one quarter of the shelter. And so he's got his fan, and he can be social with the other horses. So, yeah. So I think sometimes you have to really think creatively when your horses need things. So whenever I feel like there's a need that needs to be met, I'm like, okay, we need to be able to use this pasture, but they need the fan, but that one doesn't have a shelter. And, you know, that's where electrobraid and T-posts come in really handy, because you can adapt fence lines pretty easily. And we just used the panels, like the prefert panels, and carved out a little section of the shelter that this guy, that Atomic, could use. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I mean about adapting, right? You got to look up and go, okay, what do the horses need and how can I get that to them? So we're always looking at, yeah, airflow, cooling systems. And again, you can use the fan with or without the mister, right? It's two different things to turn on and off. So sometimes we just have the fans on, sometimes it's the fans and the misters, and you just have to monitor it. The other thing that year round, I'm really kind of obsessed with hydration. And so I'm always trying to make sure that it's very tempting for horses to drink, and that they have good choices for that. So the pastures all have the automatic waterers, and they also have another feed tub, well, not feed tub, water tub. That's what I'll often put the apple cider vinegar in, just a little variety. And also because the raccoons have decided that pooping in the automatic waterers is really fun. So I don't know why they do that. I've had some things we've slowed that down a little bit, but still, it's very rude. Anyway, so I like to have a second water source, so that I'm pretty darn sure that they'll always have one good water source. And in the barn, we often will have two, at least, maybe sometimes a third, different flavored waters, all right? So we can have electrolyte water and apple cider vinegar water, and then maybe some regular water. And then I've tried some different teas and things like that. Haven't found anything else that they're as happy about as they are with the apple cider vinegar water and the electrolyte water. And I've noticed sometimes they make little cocktails, like they'll sip a few sips on one and then immediately go sip a few sips of the other one. They're like making this mix in their mouth. But anyway, keeping them hydrated when they're sweating so much is so, so important. And the other things that I'm really thinking about, because we live in a little petri dish here, is, you know, a higher amount of attention to wounds, to their feet, to eye stuff, because the flies are in there. Like I said, it's a warm, moist environment, so bacteria can breed a little extra quickly, and the flies can lay their silly eggs in the wounds, and summer sores and scratches on the backs of their pasterns. So I should take stock in Desitin, and I'm sure my local pharmacy just thinks I run like the worst childcare facility, because I'm like buying Desitin by the case. But Desitin works great. It's for these moist environments. We just will prophylactically put it on the back of their pasterns, especially the ones with the white feet. It's really good to cover wounds, just to create a big bloppy barrier, so the flies can't get in a wound, and it helps to dry. It's a drying agent, right? So Desitin is one of those things I can't live without. But we really take the wounds seriously, keep them covered when you can. And with feet, their hooves are just, they're growing, but they're soft, especially if you've got these white feet. So a lot of hoof hardener, and just keeping that rasp as part of the grooming process of, like, just keep the little flakes and chips and chunks, keep it smooth, watching for thrush, just a little more, the same diligence that I'm sure we all do all the time, but just a little more. And so this is all sort of nice because in a way, with the heat, I'm not necessarily spending as much time exercising them. And so there's a little time left over for this horse health and horse care stuff. But now I'll talk a little bit about the exercise, you know, because most of us or many of us, like, that's what we want to do. We want to, like, ride and train. But when you're dealing with heat especially, it's not just uncomfortable, but it can be really dangerous. I mean, I think we all know about the dangers of heat stroke for ourselves. Well, horses can suffer from it too. And they, what you really want to watch for is the anhidrosis. Like, you don't want your horse to stop sweating. Now, a horse can stop sweating even if they're not being worked. So, you know, a lot of the causes of anhidrosis are not totally known, but stress on the system is a big factor. So sometimes horses are stressed in their system just from metabolic and hormonal kind of things, age, just standing out in the heat, you know, over and over and over again for many, many days in a row can create the stress on the system. But exercise also is a pretty obvious source of stress on the system. And so, you know, it's hard enough to keep them healthy. I don't know about you, but if I felt like I caused the anhidrosis by overworking my horse, that's hard to live with. So you just want to be really, really diligent. And I don't say that to make you feel bad, because sometimes you can be doing everything as best you can, making all the good decisions, and for some reason that we don't know, your horse might stop sweating. So it's something that I'm always on the lookout for, and I would always err on the side of, you know, not doing things that could cause that, right? So you can still exercise your horse and ask for things and ask for hard things and, you know, if they're conditioned for it. But, you know those little decision points of, like, should I try it again or should I just call it a day? There's in heat like we have, really, especially the hot, humid heat, you know, the consequences can be bigger. And I'd rather err on the side of, you know, feeling really good about the decisions I make. So you don't want to mess around with anhidrosis. Once they've had a moment where they're not sweating, even if you turn it around, that makes them more prone to it, where the next year they're more likely to have a non-sweating episode. And some horses can just stop sweating and that's it for their whole life. And it just makes it a really, really tricky management issue. So the things you want to watch for with that is, you know, if they're just, you know, really monitoring, like, what across the multiple horses at your barn or wherever you have your horse, like, you know, take a look. Are all of them sweating, but yours is not? You know, but you have to look. It's like, oh, those guys are out in the sun and this guy's in the shade. But just make a point of knowing your horse's sweating habits. And now, all just because they're sweating doesn't mean it's good. Like, some horses could be over sweating when you're riding them because they're stressed. It's like that anxious kind of sweat. So you don't want to be like, oh, let's just get them sweating as much as possible because that's good for them. No, I mean, so you want to be careful you're not, like, having them in a cold sweat all the time just through anxiety. But just know your horse's normal patterns. And if there's a day where it's like you're thinking, not quite as wet as they used to be. For me, my alarm rate goes up higher and I'm right away observing that. So if they're just simply not sweating, or if they're sweating in kind of patches, like a different pattern of sweating, like, why is there this little patch on their neck on this side but not on the other side? You know, those are all, take that seriously. The things that I do if I sense a horse is starting to not sweat so much is, number one, make sure that they are in cool environments. Like, I'd rather bring them into the stall for the day. So maybe they don't get to move around, but I know it's cooler if the stall is cooler. So where I can be sure they will be under the fan 100% of the time, and they're not out baking in the sun, whatever that means. Put them in the pasture where, you know, they have the better fans and misters or whatever it is. So immediately get them comfortable. Look at their breathing. You know, if they're panting, then they are actively too hot right now. So that's the other sign that you can look at. If you're like, oh, I don't know, it's not really that hot out, you know, feel them if they feel dry and look around. Are the other horses panting? You know, if yours is panting like that and they're just standing there, that's like a, like I said, alarm rate goes up. And then just watch when you're riding. Be really, really tuned into that. But so things I do, I bring them in, get them comfortable, don't stress them. And then there's a supplement called 1AC that that's my go-to. I've had good luck with it. I'm sure when people listening to this podcast, you'll each have, there's different products I'm sure that all help. Try one of them. I personally have had help with the 1AC. I also make sure they're drinking, get the electrolytes in there. And then acupuncture also can really help. I know there's some patches or something that some of my friends have had success with and some have had zero success with. Worth trying. But yeah, I'm pretty quick to get them on the 1AC and then I call and get some acupuncture done. So just recently, Cora had a little day where I rode and I'm like, that's interesting. She's not sweating as normally as she, you know, like she normally does. Put her on the 1AC the next day, took her out and sweated like crazy. Yay. Awesome. Had a day off. Next day, exercised her. I'm like, ooh, it's looking a little patchy again. This isn't right. And she was panting a little bit. Immediately cool her off, called the vet, comes out, does the acupuncture. And since then, she's been sweating perfectly. So she's on watch, but, you know, disaster averted. But that's how fast. You don't want to look at it and go, oh, a little patchy today. Well, let me just work them like usual and see what happens. Like, pay attention. All right. So, yeah. And now, so for exercise, I mean, I think I was thinking about, like, what would be my advice for how to exercise? And my first thing that I wrote down was like, well, just be thoughtful. And then I thought, well, we always want to be thoughtful. And that's true. So we just always want to be thoughtful about our exercise. But, you know, when it's a beautiful fall day or it's crisp and cool out, you know, sometimes you don't have to think as much. The horse is like, let's go be ridden. I want to move forever. And you're like, yay, it's a beautiful day. Let's go forever. And everybody's happy. And you don't have to think about it too much. But when it's hot out, you got to be more thoughtful. So you want to set them up for, like, what are we doing? Let's just do it and get out of there. My other thought around it is, we chase shade. Like, I'm always chasing shade. So I ride, there's a tree line on the east side of my property, and I will aim for that tree line in the mornings. At different times of the morning, different arenas have more or less shade, so I can, like, do something and then go walk over there and stand in that little patch of shade. Later in the morning, I head to the west side of the property and into the woods. And then I might do stuff all just on the trails, right? So you can be thoughtful, not just about what you're doing, but about where you're doing it. I think about short sessions and not aerobic sessions. And if I want to be on them for longer, just, you know, because sometimes you want to have a little longer ride, you know, there's nothing like a good power walk. So I don't want to do aerobic conditioning necessarily in the heat of the summer. but I just want to keep them as maintained as possible. So shorter sessions without being aerobically taxing. Like, I pay attention to the recovery time. They're going to get up. It's okay if they get their respiration up, but just you want it to be able to come back down when you take a little rest. And if you want to be spending more time, that's when you can do big power walks. And, you know, there's a lot of benefit to doing walk work and spend your time doing that. In general, with training, and again, this is true all the time, but I'm thinking about the dynamic of what I'd like to have happening with my horse. And then once you think about the dynamic that you're trying to progress, then you can play with it in lots of different ways. So, for example, you know, canter to walk, walk to canter transitions. You know, if you want, like, oh, I really want to improve those. I'm like, well, what do you want to improve about them? Right? So maybe it's like, oh, they always tense their backs in the middle of those transitions. Okay, great. So that's the dynamic, that in either the up or the down or both, you get this little contraction in their back and their necks shorten or something like that. Or maybe they throw themselves forward onto the forehand. Then you can practice where it's not necessarily just about walking and cantering, cantering and walking. It's about that dynamic inside the body. And then guess what? You might be able to play and find that same dynamic happening when you're practicing a backup to walk forward, or a walk forward to a backup, or a walk to a halt, or a halt to a walk. So now you can, like, oh, I can feel that same contraction happening at this, in this other place. And then you don't have to do a million gazillion canter, 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 walk, walk, canter, canter, walk, which is high demanding physically, but you can still be doing something that will improve your canter transitions, but you don't have to be cantering. So that is the kind of concept that I'm always thinking about with my horses, and especially so when it's super hot out, or for some reason, you know, I can't be at full capacity. Now, during the summer can be a really good time to try, you know, if you've been wanting to try bareback or bridleless, like, sometimes this is a great time of year to do that. The horses feel a little maybe calmer, less chance to, like, surprise prance around or do anything like that. And it's a good time to feel like you don't have to push yourself, but, like, just try, you know, try some bareback if you're just going to go for a walk around or something. Sometimes, you know, if you're in a normal schedule and program and you think, I really want to try bareback, but, you know, when you get to the barn, you're like, oh, I just want to ride. I only have a short amount of time. Let me just go ride. And then, oops, didn't have time to do bareback again. It's a good time. It's like, gosh, it's hot. Why don't we, you know, have to do all this other health care and stuff like that? And then just get on, you know, get on bareback and go. I'll get on bareback and just go let them graze on the Spanish moss or something. Right? So sometimes if you don't feel like doing anything, then, or if it's too hot to do much, then embrace that, you know, adapt, right? It's too hot to do too much, so don't do so much. But what can you do when you're not doing so much? And the same thing with bridleless, right? So maybe it's a good time where your horse is just really chill and you can do something really simple, like just practice some bridleless yields and be able to walk over here and stop, and then do a hindquarter yield and walk over there and stop. And something that can actually have a very high impact on your training, but it doesn't require a lot of going around and around and around and around and around. And around. All right. So just as important as the riding and this work that we do, you know, so it's, again, this is not just about, like, okay, it's hot, how to work your horse as much when it's hot. Like, don't plan on working as much and to have fun doing some other stuff. So, for example, today was horse health day. Now, every day is horse health day, But, you know, yesterday and Monday and Tuesday, it's Wednesday as I'm recording this, on Monday and Tuesday, you know, I rode some and played with some other ones and then just did the sort of basic horse health, you know, put the globs of stuff on the wounds and cover this and that. And then today, I did get on Solana. I got on bareback and we went for a walk in the woods and she got to go wherever she wanted and she had a good time with that. But with the other horses, I did a combination of things. I did some little games and tricks. I did more in-depth horse health and grooming with each of them. Just a little more thorough, did a little bit of hoof filing, cleaned up some things that needed to be cleaned up, and just kind of took my time with each of them. Some got some body work. We have one at the grooming stall. We have a big fan right in front of it, kind of up on the wall, and they just line up with that, and it's so comfortable. So I kind of want my barn to be like the special playhouse for my horses. I want it to, like, they all live out, and they love the time in the barn. So some of them are in the barn, and some of them are out grazing, but I'm noticing they just all kind of hang around the barn and they look for their time to come in, because they come in, they get to take their fly masks off, stand under the fans, definitely cooler and shadier in there, and they seem to really enjoy it. So that's what we do, and it's non-demanding time and it's really good connecting time, and there's so many opportunities to build communication. So I have this kind of gymnastic mat. It's like, I don't know, like 8 feet by 4 feet, something like that. And I put that in the grooming stall. So it just adds one more thing. They're standing on this wobbly gymnastic mat. And it makes them think a little bit. And we get to practice like on the mat, stay there. So just even when they're staying there doing the horse health, they have a job to do. And when they come off the mat, then I get to practice my communication of bringing them back to the mat. So if I'm on their left side and let's say I'm doing something and they swing their little hiney away from me off the mat, and then I can go, okay, well, from standing right here, can I ask the hindquarters to step towards me to get back on the mat? And that's a great opportunity for communication. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And then, well, there's something to play with. Sometimes I'll be doing something on their tail in the wash stall, and today Cora was like, I'm done, and she's like, I'm gonna go in the stall now. And so she starts to walk out, and she knows how to, you know, back up from me holding her tail. So I like, oh, and I hold her tail, and she's like, no, I'm really going. So I'm like, well, there's something we can play with. And so she stopped, but then she swung her butt away from me and away from the pressure. So I was like, oh yeah, I don't think I've actually asked her to yield her hindquarters towards me from a little bit of pressure on her tail. I was like, oh, I can practice that because I need it right now. And if she had just listened, then that would have been great, because then she would still be in the wash stall and I'd still be doing the thing I was trying to do with her. So it's like that came up. So that's what we played with. And pretty quickly, it got it working really well. And then she was overshooting the target. But we just took 5 minutes, played with that communication. And then she's back in the wash stall. And I'm back finishing up the little stuff I was doing with her tail. And that felt really valuable. And then she was paying attention more. And she's like, oh, we're actually doing something here. Right. So there's, you know, even if we're just fiddling around and playing with their bodies, like there's always these opportunities for moments like that. And as I'm doing all of this, there's sort of horses everywhere. So it's just, my barn is small. It's only two stalls. They're fairly large stalls. And there's a front paddock and a back paddock. And then there's the main aisleway and a grooming stall and a wash stall area. And so with the seven horses, sometimes they're in various different combinations of how many horses are in the barn, who gets to be with who, is the front paddock gate open so they can actually come in and out as they want? They can go out there and nibble on some grass or then come in the barn when they want. Often, and so I call it like mindful chaos. Right. So yeah, mindful chaos. So what do I mean by that? Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally video classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1 week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. I want them to really feel like it's their barn, but not forget that it's my barn. Like, what's that saying? There's a saying, something like that. It's like, make yourself at home, but don't forget it's my home. So, you know, there's certain, most of my horses all get along with each other, but there's certain ones I have to watch. And we have to be careful of, I can leave the door to the front paddock open, but there's some horses who can't go out on the grass. And I have two stalls, and depending on the horses that are in the aisle, I could leave those stall doors open because it wouldn't be so bad if two horses went in the stall at the same time. But there's some combination of horses where that would not be a good idea. And so, you know, it's chaotic in that I want them to feel like it's their barn and they're free to move about as they want. And sometimes I'm going to ask them to do something, and sometimes they're going to tell me that they need to go do something, and we can all kind of figure this out together. So they get lots of choices, but sometimes I would like them to do something. Now, sometimes they're just as adamant about what they want to do. But this is just a part of the relationship thing that we work out. Like the other day, actually when the vet was here, and doing something, and Salon all of a sudden just started getting kind of fidgety, and no, it was Cora, a little fidgety and pushy, and just, you know, a little bit like, well, what's this? And, you know, is this something I need to, you know, talk to her about? And then I just sort of sat there and listened to her, and I went, oh, she's got a poop. So, you know, I just said, hang on a second, and let her go where she wanted to go, which was in the stall. And then she did a big poop, and then we came back out. And I thought, you know, that was actually quite nice of her. Sometimes my horses have good ideas, right? So, I love them expressing those ideas, and it was kind of cool that she didn't just poop right there in the aisle. Anyway, so I watch for where they want to be. Sometimes I'll have Natia and Solana in their stalls and they're nibbling on hay. And then I'll see one of them get, you know, a little bit like, hey, I think I want out of my stall. No, I don't. I'm not saying that they're pawing. You know, they don't paw, paw, paw and bang the gates. And then I go running to give them what they want. We have to be thoughtful and mindful about this. But you'll just kind of get this sense like, oh, I think she wants out. So I'll go open the gate to the, or the stall door, if that feels reasonable. And sometimes she'll walk out of that stall and then she'll go stand in front of the other one and says, I want to go in that one. I'm like, well, that's fine with me. So I'll open that stall door and Solana will walk out and they'll just trade stalls. I don't know why, but it's their barn. Why not? Why should that bother me? Sometimes I'll be playing a game with one horse in the aisle, and then the horses are sort of in their paddocks or in the stalls, and I don't really see their heads, and I'm playing with the horse, and then I switch to a different game, and all of a sudden I'll start to see heads coming out, and they're like, I want to play that game too. And to me, that's like huge, valuable feedback. I'm like, oh, you want to play this game? And so I'll open up their doors and they can come join in whatever game I'm playing. Because that to me is a really golden moment. And so this is the sort of stuff that, like, you know, I could do this all day. This is, it feels so valuable. It feels like communication. It feels like the same kind of communication that I would need to do fancy things riding. You know, sometimes my horses have great ideas, and that they're what could be misinterpreted as, you know, a horse being like fussy and, you know, banging on the door, wants out of the stall. Like, okay, that's happening. Well, why do they want out of the stall? Maybe they want to come do something with me. Like, that's a big difference from a horse banging at a door out of frustration because they hate being in their stall versus one that's like, hey, I want to play, I want to play, I want to play. So that kind of thing, you know, on these hot days, you know, these kind of moments, like today was all one big moment of this, of just horses cycling in and out, doing some body work with this one, you know, I'm doing body work on Ovation, and then Teo wanders in, and Teo and Ovation are like, we must aloe groom. And, you know, so Teo's like, oh my God, it's my friend Ovation, who he does not get turned out with, but every time he sees him, he's like, oh, Ovation, comes over and asks, and I'm happy to go, you know what? Sure. Now I can ask Teo to leave if I wanted to, but I was like, yeah, go for it. That sounds like a nice thing to do. In fact, later I was doing some body work with Natia, and Teo was being so polite. He just kept coming a little closer and a little closer, and Natia would pin her ears at him and be like, no. And so he'd step back and he'd just reach forward, and he does this little tongue trick where I hold my hand a certain way and he sticks his tongue out and lets me hold it. So he just like, do you want to play with my tongue? I'm like, sure. So I can be mindful of Natia, who's saying, I don't want you here. But I can also look at Teo and go, oh my gosh, he just wants to come over and hang out with me and, you know, do his little silly tongue trick. Why not? Why not? So there are some, you know, before you guys all just go letting your horses loose and try this chaos, remember, it's mindful chaos. And there's a few, you know, there's a few things that I'm really, you know, keeping track of. So you have to, when you're doing this and letting horses be with you in the barn this way, you have to really keep your peripheral vision open. Like, be really aware of who's going where, what doors are open, you know, where are the tight spaces, and what mood are the horses in? Because sometimes certain combination of horses just do not get along, and other times they do. So you want to still be really good at boundaries and mindful of boundaries, permission to cross boundaries, decisions around boundaries, and the communications around that, and just a lot of awareness of where your horses are. We have a rule with my assistant and I that's like, horses don't get to meet if there's a head by feet. So like today, I almost messed this up because I was sitting on the beanbag in the aisleway, and Becky had Hot Shot in the wash stall, and she was by his back feet. She had his back foot up because she was treating a little wound, and she was in the middle of doing all that, and I didn't pay attention well enough, and Teo walked by because the water's over there too. And in my mind, I was like, oh, he's just going to get a drink. But I wasn't realizing that Becky had her face right near Hotshot's hind feet, and Hotshot and Teo don't always get along. So, you know, when I saw it happening, I'm like, Becky, put the foot down and just let her know it was happening while I got them out of there. So, you know, Teo was good. He just went over and got a drink, but it was one of those, you know, potential situations where he could have easily had a little kerscuffle with Hotshot, and it would have put Becky in a dangerous position. So it's chaotic, but it's mindful chaos. And this is all part of the grand, you know, happy athlete protocol, right? To keep your horses happy and keep the relationship thriving and keep them feeling like they have freedom and they have choices. They have a relationship with you. There's dynamics. There's interesting things happening. They have this little fun sanctuary that's, you know, where they stay cool and they get pampered and things that feel good happen. And I just have to, I mean, it, I believe completely that that affects the training. So, okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about when it comes to this hot weather is to not forget about yourself. I don't know about you, but I'm usually the last person I think about when it comes to taking care of the beings in my barn. Or I will say historically that was the case. But as I get older, I am simply not as hardy. Like, I just am not handling the heat as well. So there's, you know, I've had to really think about, like, how am I going to manage myself? I tend to like to push through things. Oh, just do one more and then I'm done, right? And that doesn't work as well. I have to take breaks. So I bring a pair of shorts out to the barn. So if I'm going to ride, I ride early. And then when I'm done, when I've ridden the last horse I'm going to ride, I've started changing into shorts. It makes such a difference. Change your socks, right? If it's been really wet and you've hosed off a few horses, you know, just like these simple little things. It's just a little glimmer of being refreshed. I take my helmet off immediately. My head always gets really hot, so that's a habit I have kind of year round. But I walk in, bring the horse, turn them around in the wash stall. As they're turning around, my helmet is off. And then I have to move it to the farthest hook if it's Ovation, because he'll throw it on the ground. Here's a little trick I've tried. Overnight, I'll store my helmet in the refrigerator. So in the morning, or even like between horses, stick it back in the fridge, and it doesn't stay cold forever, but oh, that glorious 30 seconds of the little ice cube going on my head can really make a big difference. Now, one thing that's really important is to not rush. That makes so much of a difference. Again, this thoughtfulness was when you approach. Don't try to jam everything in. Just pace myself. Some horses will get ridden. Some horses will not. But don't rush. And also keeping a cool head. Right? So there's a reason why, you know, it's called a hot head if you're getting angry or frustrated. Frustration will raise your temperature. So keeping a cool head, it is what it is. This is always a good thing to practice anyway, but sometimes in the heat, like, you have to. You really have to. And so I think bottom line, the theme throughout is to not fight the heat or monsoon season or the freezing cold, whatever it is, whatever your seasonal consideration is, like, just don't fight it. It is what it is. Just acknowledge it and adapt. Anyway, I hope that helps. All right. Have fun out there and stay cool. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.